I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. It's Maria Boynton. Thanks for joining me today. My guest is City Council President Felicia Moore. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you.
You have made an announcement today in reference to, we can say, transparency in government when it comes to the city of Atlanta.
Exactly.
The city of Atlanta, when you talk about where we are, you and I spoke some months ago, and I asked you, I said, corruption in city government, how far do you think it'll go? You said, well, I think this is only a trickle of what we're going to see. You said, I think you're seeing a trickle now. It's going to be a major situation later. Where are we right now?
Well, we're not at the major situation, so we are getting the sprinkles. And as you see in the news, whether it's on a weekly basis or not, something that's reported based on information that reporters have gleaned from the subpoenas that we've had. And it's kind of telling us what happened in the previous administration. So that's the trickle. And then we've also, since the last time we've talked, had some more guilty pleas and indictments. So I just believe that because of the breadth of all of the investigations that are going on, I believe that we still have a number of trials and indictments to come.
And of course, we're talking to Felicia Moore, everybody, the president of Atlanta City Council. Now, when we talk about transparency, you talked about there needed to be something to where the citizens of Atlanta felt like their concerns were being heard, especially when it comes to ethics and things of that nature. You talked about a panel, so to speak. Yeah. Where are we in that?
Well, a few things have happened since I've talked with you. Mm-hmm. I was proud to be the author of legislation because, you know, procurement is one of the big issues where we've had issues of questionable contracts, et cetera. And so I authored legislation that was sponsored by Councilmember Andre Dickens for independent procurement review officers. And so right now it is in place and it is working. Well, we have an independent set of eyes through our auditor's office that are following our procurement process from the beginning to the end and noting problems with the process or questionable things so that the council is fully aware of that before they award a contract. So that was one thing. The other thing that I authored, and it was introduced and sponsored and worked very heavily on, and I appreciate her diligence and work, Councilmember Jennifer Ide, was for an independent compliance office. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we have someone who is independent of the mayor and the council, and their primary responsibility is to hold people accountable. Hold people accountable for following the code, following the charter, and doing things right and referring them if they find that there's some criminal activity. And so that was adopted by the council. It was not fully funded. We had to push, but we did get partial funding from the mayor. But in the meantime, the mayor said, let's hold. She wanted to have a task force for the promotion of public trust. Mm-hmm. That looked at everything that we were doing in the city related to compliance, ethics, accountability, transparency. They've completed their work. I attended every meeting. I gave input where I could. And in their report they came out with, and this was in October 14th, they said that the city of Atlanta needed an inspector general.
I'm sure that there was a lot of information that came out in these sessions that you attended. Mm-hmm. What were some of the items that they looked at to make them come to the decision and to issue a report?
Well, they looked at everything. They looked at all of our different offices and what they handled. They did have a concern that we had several people doing several different things and kind of needed a more streamlined function that we can know where people know where to go.
Okay.
And they came out with the inspector general towards the end. I saw them moving that way when they invited a couple of inspector generals from across the country to come in. One of them was not as independent. They worked under the mayor's office, and another one was independent, where they were independent from the mayor's office. And then in this report, That is what they said that we needed. And if you read the report, one of the things that you see them noting over and over again is our independent compliance office, the one I just told you that I authored and Ms. Ide introduced, has many of the components that an inspector general have. And frankly, when I wrote it, I wanted it to be an inspector general. But for political reasons and to make sure people didn't feel uncomfortable with it, we called it a compliance office. The majority of everything that office needs to hold people accountable is already in there. So that's why, you know, when they issued this report for an inspector general, I was happy to see that they were in the same direction that I have. And the public is, frankly, the public wants these things that we hear about, that there has some comfort that somebody's going to do something about it. We don't have this function at City Hall.
How much power will this inspector general have?
It will have a lot of authority. It will be able to issue subpoenas. It will be able to investigate fully any improprieties or any issues. And I want it to be a hybrid where they can sanction people. They can try to get money back from the city if people misappropriated money. They can recommend people be removed from the city government. And most importantly, if they find criminal activity in addition to that, they would be able to pass it on to federal, state, or other authorities who can investigate it for criminal intent. What we need and what is inherent in the compliance officer, or if we want to call it an inspector general, is someone who's looking at who is not following the rules, the code, who's spending money or writing themselves checks without council authorization, and those people being held accountable. And what it will do to the culture of city government is give even the employees, those that come to work every day and just want to do their jobs, if they know of instances that are wrong or they've been asked to do wrong, they know that they have somewhere that they can go.
This inspector general, how often would they have to report to City Council?
Well, the inspector general will be independent.
Okay.
So what's the beauty about that is right now we have an ethics officer.
Okay.
And that ethics officer reports to a board. The board hires the person and they report to the board. They don't report to elected officials.
Okay.
This independent compliance / inspector general would report to that same board. We've even expanded that board when we did the compliance office to add people who are fraud examiners and people who have the skill set to be able to look at some of these issues. So they will not be reporting to us, and that is what's needed. We've got to take as much of the politics out of it or influence from elected officials out of the equation. You need someone that's a third party that are for the people and are looking to make sure that the city's rules are being followed.
And looking in that tunnel, you see the light at the end of the tunnel. In President Felicia Moore's world, how does it look at the end of that tunnel for the city of Atlanta?
Well, it looks, first of all, in having a fully funded inspector general and giving them all the power and authority that they can possibly have. It also looks at being able to make sure that our employees feel comfortable in reporting waste, fraud, and abuse in city government, maybe even rewarding them for giving them incentives to do that. Because we need to start to clean out city government. We also need to be very keenly looking at the subpoenas that are being issued. Do we still have people in city government that knew about, participated in, or should have known about these things that we maybe need to part ways with it? And then if they come out, of course, in a report, we need to make sure that we do that quickly. There's so much that needs to be done, but it can't start unless we begin a culture of city government and one where the elected officials have made it a top priority, particularly in light of the state looking over at us, that we make it very clear to the public, to the state, and to anyone else who's looking, City of Atlanta is going to get its act together. We're going to clean house. And we're going to put processes in place to make sure that they're check and balance in government and people are held accountable for what they do.
You've gotten the final report together. How many pages is that?
Their final report, and this is not my final report.
Okay.
Their final report is 52 pages.
Okay.
And what I've given you is on that page is the list of things, and it's not a lot, of things of my recommendations on how we move forward. We've got to move this conversation forward. What I'm hearing, I've heard that the administration is meeting with select council members about this issue, and I want to be sure that, and they've received a copy of this letter, that they have these ideas in mind, because what I don't want us to do is to get into the weeds of things that we can get later and not get moving on what we can get doing today. We have it on the books today. We can change the name and a few of the other recommendations, but we need to have the mayor and the council get this office fully funded so that the board will feel that they have something, a green light to go starting to look are coming up with their processes on how they would hire this person.
I see that your recommendations include a whistleblower protection ordinance.
Right. So that was in their report. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reiterating that Okay. We have a whistleblower protection ordinance, but it needs to be strengthened. Okay. It definitely needs to be strengthened. We also want to make sure that, and this is in their report, that elected officials as well as city employees and city vendors sign an affirmative statement that they will tell the truth, that they will cooperate if there's an investigation. They will report things if they know that they're doing wrong. We need to make affirmative statements that we're going to participate and we're going to have an ethical government, and we'll hold people accountable for that.
And I see here, too, that there will be several offices that would fall under, or the items for consideration.
Right.
I see that there are items for consideration, too, to place some offices under the umbrella of the Office of Inspector General.
So right now I'm going to go with step one, which is getting that office fully funded. But
right.
I did put in there that there are a couple other areas that I think that this office should have. One is there is the Mayor's Office of Contract Compliance. As you know, we did get a guilty plea from an official in the Contract Compliance Office. It's very integral to our Minority and Women-Owned Business Program. And I believe that if they are the ones that are holding people accountable and complying with procurement rules and DBE participation for minorities and women, that needs to be taken and put in a place where it is independent. And I believe under the Inspector General will be a better place, because then if there are some irregularities found or things done, the Inspector General can do a full and thorough investigation independent of the mayor or the city council or city vendors or procurement administrative people. I also would like to see at some point our transparency office, which the mayor established, to make sure that open records requests are responded to in a timely and efficient manner. I think that should also be in an independent area, so that if people aren't complying and aren't doing what they're supposed to do, they just have to turn to their boss, the Inspector General, and say, this needs to be investigated, or we need to come up with some findings related to this. But those are just things for the future.
Right,
right now, the most immediate
fully
thing
funded.
Is fully fund the mm-hmm. Independent Compliance Office, make the legislative changes to change the name and add maybe some other aspects to it that are minor, and let's get moving, and then we can work on some of the other areas that we may need the state's action on.
So what's next? You need to get it fully funded.
Mm-hmm.
So do you present this report to the mayor, or how do you
Well, the mayor
go about,
has this report.
Okay.
This is her report,
okay.
basically, from her task
mm-hmm.
force
right.
that has been given to council and was October 14th.
Right, okay.
And so I'm just trying to make sure we keep the conversation going, number
okay.
one. As far as the funding is concerned, that would be an affirmative action of the council through legislation saying put more money there, or the administration saying we're going to put more money
there. When do you expect this to come up again in terms of the funding?
Well, it will come up when someone brings it up. And I'm bringing it up, and so I hope it will come up. And sometimes, you know, you have to play the roles that you have. I'm the president of the city council. I'm no longer a council member. While I can draft legislation, I can't have to get a council member, and that's why I mentioned the other council members. I have to get a council member to introduce it. So I'm hoping that with my letter, my recommendations that I've sent to the mayor and the council, that we will then get a council member or the mayor to move some of these issues forward.
And I'm sure people listening would say, well, everybody should be jumping at the chance.
Well, we will see.
Okay.
And if we don't, I will keep talking about it until we do. It is extremely important, and the citizens can't wait. We can't wait. the city can't wait, because we're going to continue to get the news. As I said, that storm cloud that we talked about is going to continue to open up. And every time I post an article about something that happens at City Hall, inevitably somebody asks, well, what are you all doing? People want to know that we're being productive. We can't fix what happened before, and we can't control what information we'll hear about what happened before, but we can certainly control today and our future, and we need to get busy.
Atlanta City Council President Felicia Moore, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. We'll have you in again soon.
I'll look forward to it.
I'm Maria Boyington reporting.